Welcome on into the Ciroc Point After, folks, on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Black and Gold falling 51-27 to the New Orleans Saints. Plenty to rant about Cajun Cannon. Like I mentioned, 51-27, the Saints going down hard in the Superdome. Week 6 action and now lost 4 in a row. What do you make of this tailspin from the Black and Gold, man?
Well, it's embarrassing. It's a division opponent. Listen, it's the NFL. It's like pros versus pros. I mean, you cannot get waxed like we got waxed by Tampa Bay. Well, first off, you can't dig a hole and you're down 17-0. You know, everybody's worried about the offseason. Oh, watch out for the Falcons. Oh, they got Kirk Cousins and all that. Now, look at that game, how it went down to the wire in overtime. Tampa Bay and Atlanta. But didn't Tampa Bay win the division 3 seasons in a row? And it's the Saints have won it four seasons.
You're right. No respect going into the year, right?
Right. No one's even talking about Baker Mayfield and the Tampa Bay team and Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles last year was on the cusp of getting fired. But what happened? They won the division, and he's hosting a playoff game, and they beat the Eagles. Remember when they beat the Eagles in the playoffs? And we waxed them at the end of the year. I don't know. The Dome field advantage, Raymond James field advantage, it doesn't matter. I mean, look, last year, I remember, they came here, and I said this in the pregame, Steve. This is now Dennis Allen's worst loss, and Tampa Bay has done it. That if you look at it, what occurred, that being, you know, Dennis Allen, you know, versus the Saints, that it was 26-9 loss that was in New Orleans last year, 26-9. Now it's 51-27, but that was the worst loss of the Dennis Allen era. But then we go to Raymond James Stadium, remember, at the end of the year? And it was right before the playoffs. We beat him 23-13. I'm saying we're playing him in the last game of the year. We could beat him. It's the NFL any given Sunday. But this is embarrassing. This is humiliating. And you know what? Dennis Allen, he did acknowledge this. It's on me. Remember I told you if the offense sucks, Dennis Allen has nothing to do with it?
Oh, for sure.
When the defense sucks and they can't tackle, no. Dennis Allen got to look in the mirror. The coach got to look in the mirror. The players got to look in the mirror. I agree with Deuce 1,000%. You know, Haas was saying that, oh, you got to flush this. Flush nothing. I don't care if the game's on Thursday. You better look at the film and say, okay, what can I do better? And like Dennis Allen said, you know, you don't really practice tackling anymore. I mean, who are we trying to tackle out there? Derrick Henry of the Ravens? I mean, some fans don't even know. Bucky Irving, isn't that the high draft pick? What is he from? Oregon, I think?
Correct.
And then Tucker from Syracuse?
Exactly. I mean, did That's he kick the one ass? I was like, who is Sean Tucker?
Yeah, Syracuse. Two-year guy out of Syracuse. He just kicked out butt. I mean, Tucker averaged basically 10 yards a carry. Irving averaged 6 yards a carry. No, that was embarrassing. That was a butt-whooping to be butt-whooping. Yeah, look, okay. Now, look, what have you done for me lately? How many times does Bobby Hebert use that cliche? What have you done for me lately? Man, the first two games, when was that, a decade ago?
I don't know.
That's how it seems like against Carolina and the Cowgirls. I mean, it's all black and gold in the Super Bowl. Okay, what has happened the last four games? Nothing. You know the Saints have now lost 4 straight games. You know the last time that happened? I think he ended up quitting or something. Sean Payton was the head coach in his final season in 2021. Was the last time we lost 4 games in a row. I'm just saying. You gotta stop that. You gotta stop the bleeding somehow. But how can you stop the bleeding when you can't stop your opponent? Let's look at first downs. Time of possession, it wasn't as bad as the Chiefs, but they had the ball 8 minutes more than we did. If you look now in 2 games, we've given up 59 first downs. What? We have a JV defense? No, if our defense doesn't play well, we have no freaking chance. I'm telling you right now, I don't care who's the quarterback. We have no chance the way this team is structured if our defense does not kick ass. And you could say, well, Bobby, we had the number one red zone defense. Yes, we did. We only given up 25% red zone touchdowns. Well, today, I don't know, the Buccaneers were 4 or 5 in the red zone. I guess that's the equivalent of 80%. So there was nothing you can write home about. But today the Buccaneers had 31 first downs. We gave up 28 first downs against the Chiefs. Not good on both sides on third down. They were at 60%. That's never good. And you needed to flip this. We needed to be 60% on third down, 50 or 60%, and 31% on the defensive side. But we only converted 4 of 13 at 31%. So that was never good. No, average gain per offensive play, like 8.5 yards. It could have been like Canadian rules football. You only get two downs and you got to punt on third down. They were just waxing us. I mean, can you stop the run? I don't know. Then just look at those chunk plays. And that's why you look average rushing net yards at 7.9. That's humiliating. And what's humiliating is that, okay, don't we think, how we always say, how we emphasize this, can we run the football and can we stop the run? Well, as of late, we sure in the hell can't stop the damn run. I mean, Dallas, we stopped Dallas and Carolina. Okay, they were dysfunctional. Hey, look at Dallas. The Cowgirls are dysfunctional running the football. So what if you stop them? You know, in the two games then, we gave up like 68 yards. You have to look who you play it. Coming into the game, we had yielded, if you look, like 133 yards a game, 5 yards a carry the last three games. That's not good.
That's going up.
Yes. And then today the Bucs had 277 yards, 7.9 yard average. Simply, I think a lot of it is we can't tackle. If you can't tackle, it's tackle football. It's not flags. We're not playing flag where you just grab the flag. Okay, you're down. Sorry, you're down. Now, the Bucs are trying to definitely keep us in the game. You look at the first half. If you're winning 17-0, you should never lose. And the Bucs didn't lose, but they made it interesting. They were losing at halftime. Go, what the hell just happened? They're probably thinking. But they made adjustments at halftime, to Spencer Rattler, the bootlegs and all that. And I tell you that. And I got this from Warren Moon, so it's not just coming from me. He says, Bobby, all these young cats, they come into the league and they start playing. They might be a flash in the pan. This is before we played, when we played, and even in the future. They could be good for 2 or 3 games or a month, but what are you going to do after that? Well, Spencer Rattler and the offensive side of the ball, we weren't even good after halftime, after they adjusted to the bootleg. What? You better know what you're doing. And I'm just saying, I don't know right now what's the answer, but look, the Buccaneers are trying to shoot themselves in the foot. They had 12 penalties. The first half was almost they had a whole game of penalties. So that's basically giving up a touchdown. So actually the score is even worse than what it is. And to me, if you ever return a punt and a touchdown, for a touchdown, you should never lose. When you get like a pick six or a scoop and score, but you get like a kickoff or a punt return, no one's never realistically counting on that. You get that? Well, you should win the game. But obviously, that was not the case. The one positive thing, I'm not going to be all negative, but how can you not be negative when you lose 51-27? The one positive for sure is, did Derek Carr did not know how to utilize the tight end? Spencer Rattler figured it out. I mean, we targeted the tight end 5 targets. They had 5 catches for 102 yards total. Looking at Foster Moreau, then Juwan Johnson. So they had 102 yards total. Morrow had 54, Johnson had 48. So I look out Bub Means. I don't know, Bub Means feel like he wants to play. The rookie out of Pittsburgh, he had 5 catches. He caught a touchdown. No, do you want to be a pro or do you want to play? I mean, and then you look at the turnover battle. We had a chance. All of a sudden, we're plus 2. So that's a winning formula. Plus 2, you should never lose. But you know what happened at the end of the game? It's 0. Not positive or negative, but it's not an advantage. 0 turnover margin.
Offsetting turnover.
Yeah, offsetting. Yeah, so we are plus 2. We needed to keep that plus 2. Now, Alvin Kamara, we ride at 4 yards a carry, 3.9, 21 rushing attempts. I know Kubiak wants that to be 31 instead of 21, or at least in the high 20s rushing attempts. But we all, right at 4 yards, 3.9, Rattler helped that. He had 4 rushes for 27 yards, 6.8 average. Alvin, that's not good. He had 3.1 average. So nothing to write home about with that. You know, and I'm going to talk about this in the next break, or because I told Charlie to look this up. Everybody talks about Mike Evans and Lattimore to match up. You know who's the Saints killer? It's Chris Godwin out of Penn State. Chris Godwin is the cat. I'm talking about, if you look, Charlie was telling me this, and it's even worse when you look at it. The last three games, again, what have you done for me lately? Chris Godwin against the Saints is like a Hall of Famer. Pro Football Hall of Fame, not a Florida Hall of Famer. Pro Football Hall of Fame, what he's done the last three games. Well, you look at it in 14 games against the Saints, he has 75 catches, 9 touchdowns, and over 1,000 yards, 1,038 yards. So, and especially the number's even going to be worse when Charlie's going to give that to me, that Chris Godwin, not Mike Evans, has truly been that Saints killer. Now, if you look at it, Thursday's going to be here before you know it. And I don't know. I think the Broncos are good. I don't think the Broncos are good.
They're down 20-0 right now to the Chargers.
The Chargers.
In Denver.
And Harbaugh, I like the way they play. And, well, we're going to have to play the Chargers in Los Angeles. We're not winning that game. That would be an upset. But Denver, we could beat Denver. But I don't know. Is it bad versus bad? You know, Sean Payton's coming to town. And all of a sudden, a big hoopla and all that. But I don't think the Broncos are very good. And the Saints are not very good right now. So what does that mean? So I don't know. It's not no measuring stick about when you're trying to compete amongst the best. But, again, you got to stop the bleeding. I don't know how we're going to stop the bleeding. Because, like Coach Allen said, we need to stop or we need to practice more tackling drills. Well, the game's on Thursday. Before the Broncos game, we're not practicing no damn tackling drills.
No, you need recoup time.
And we're just trying to say, who's freaking healthy to even play? Who's ready to play and be available come Thursday? I think after that, we play the Chargers. Is that, look that up, Steve. I think after the Broncos game, I think we go to L.A. and we play the Chargers.
Correct.
Now, we better win. So if we don't beat the Broncos, what would that be, 5 straight losses? And then the Chargers might be 6 straight losses? No, we got to somehow stop the bleeding. We got to beat Denver come Thursday night. I think it's going to be an emotional game. Drew Brees be in town. Sean Payton's coming back and all that. But you know what was a positive? Another positive? You know, I try to look for some positives, and I can't even remember. What was the one positive I'll say? Oh, the tight ends. Utilizing the tight ends.
I was going to say, I don't know where the positive is.
No, utilizing the tight ends finally. You know what else? I think we have the right damn punter, the Hayball. I think Hayball is the right punter for the Saints. How he's consistently punting the ball inside the 10-yard line. He's getting the right hang time. And you look at the net. I always look at the net and what we're averaging. For instance, this is pretty damn good. This is amongst the best in the world. 42.5 yards net. But then when I look at versus, because we had that big punt return for a touchdown, the Buccaneers averaged 25.5. So, yeah, so, you know, you could find some, oh, well, we okay here, but it's few and far between. You know, it's like, oh, we have 10 to 15% working in our favor, and 85% is against us right now. Bad. Bad, bad, bad. It's a 2-for-1. It's the Buccaneers. How can you not get up for the Buccaneers in the Superdome? So that just goes to show you dealing with a hurricane and all that, sometimes adversity. You know, that sometimes, if you're a pro, it helps you focus on the task at hand, and that's what Tampa Bay did. And you know what? I was totally discouraged at the beginning. When it's 17-0,
right?
I said, man, we got to help out our young quarterback. We can't be down 17-0. And I said, if our defense doesn't play well, we're not going to win. Oh, we bounce back. Then Tampa Bay, they make adjustments at halftime, and then we got exploited. And then it was an embarrassing loss. One of the most embarrassing losses I've seen in a while, and especially the most embarrassing loss under Dennis Allen.
Saints go down 51-27 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You heard the Cajun Cannon sound off. You're next on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Be back with more of the Ciroc Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. The Saints go down to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 51-27, a fourth straight loss for the Saints. They are now 2-4 on the season, have a short-term turnaround with a game approaching on Thursday night football against Denver.
Well, and you talk about young running backs. And unless you're really into fantasy football or, you know, you're on top of all the players in the league and all that, then, you know, some people might say you got to get a life. But maybe that's the life that you like. And I want to know where everybody is. And but I'm like, Tucker, who's that?
Bucky Irving, like you said, that's got the recognition from being the draft pick out of Oregon.
Yes. So I understood that. Then I look at Tucker coming out of
that?
Syracuse. Okay, what about our draft pick? Kendre Miller.
Oh, he's inactive.
Now we made him inactive. Is he helping the cause? Is he
not
helping
yet.
The cause with Alvin Kamara? Or Jamal Williams, you might say, Bobby, it doesn't make a difference. Even if we had Kendre Miller with this offensive line, how beat up we are, is he truly going to get yardage? I don't look at Jamal Williams. I mean, I don't know. We give him one or two carries a game. And he had minus two, then he got plus nine. So he ended up 3.5 yard average. So he gets 7. So Jordan Mims, overachiever out of Fresno State. So no, why we need to hit like a diamond in the rough, like a Tucker, Kendre Miller.
The Saints used to be so good with their undrafted finds at running back.
Look, I'm almost right now. Two of the best. Remember Kyrie? Was it Robinson?
Right.
And Chris Ivory? They were like beast mode. They were a poor man's Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Talk about you meet him in a dark alley. I don't want to, or they'll run you behind
running
over.
Right over.
We don't have those kind of cats. When Kendre Miller comes back, I'm so mad at him. I'm telling you, this type of game, I would just tell him, okay, you're going in the game and you're running every play, so see if you can get hit and take it, and you know, hopefully you can get back into the groove and do something. I mean, what has he done for the Saints considering where we drafted him? Has he helped Alvin Kamara? And then all of a sudden he's talking smack when we drafted him. Oh, I'm here to take Alvin Kamara's job. What are you talking about, dude? Alvin Kamara's the greatest.
Yeah, going back in retrospect, maybe not the best comments.
No, just be humble and go play and kick butt. And not always, oh, my ham. It's baking in the oven. It's been baked. I mean, I don't know. Great opportunity. Is he going to be active in the Broncos game? He has to know the plays by now or whatever. Or, you know, we go against the Chargers, whatever. Come on, Kendre Miller. I want Kendre Miller when other fans are saying, who is that guy? Oh, that's that guy from TCU. Then he got hurt in the postseason for TCU, Michigan. He did pretty good that game. Okay, what are you going to do in the NFL?
Have you done for me lately?
I want him to have a Tucker kind of game where all of a sudden he's running the ball for 14 attempts for 136 yards and basically a 10-yard average.
We're taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Coming back with your takes right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Tampa 51, New Orleans 27. The Saints losing their fourth straight game are now 3-4 on the season. 2-4 on the season, sorry. The Saints now have a short week to get ready for the Denver Broncos. We'll be keeping tabs on that, but that score right now, Denver losing 20-0 at halftime, hosting the Chargers. Cajun Cannon, plenty of the Houdat Nation wants to sound off with you on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. It's 504-260-1870. Hector, you are first up. What you got for us today, Hector?
I am sick and tired of this sorry-ass display of a defense. This is ridiculous. I don't know what Dennis Allen is talking about, saying that they need tackling drills. He should have figured out the tackling problem since the Philadelphia game. We've been having a tackling problem. Teams know they can run on the Saints. Just run it up the middle. And what's even more upsetting is that we continue to get out-coached. Bob, you can't tell me that with a 3-1 turnover margin, you return a punt for a touchdown, and you have the ball with 2 minutes left to extend the lead, and you don't do anything? Nah, Tampa Bay figured it out on the last drive of the Saints at the end of the first half, and then they said, you know what? We got them because they can't stop the run. They can't tackle. I even stopped counting the number of yards they had after the catch. Totally ridiculous. Dennis Allen needs to go. He needs to go now. I don't think we should wait for the Broncos because, you know, as well as I do, it ain't going to get any better. He's bad. He wasn't even
Hector, okay. I don't know how your mom and dad raised you, but you can say damn it, but don't blame God. God has nothing to do with it. Don't say GD. The only thing about God is if you pray in the God, You know, you ask him for forgiveness or you want help. So I'm not judging you. I had to get on my own son about that. I go, come on, you weren't raised that way. Don't blame God. Don't damn God, because God had nothing to do with it. So Hector, I can tell you that, look, it's the pros. And it's totally unacceptable that the product we've put since we started out 2-0. It's like you want to talk about Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. This is even the same team. But you have to look at, yeah, it's the same team, but it's not the same opponents. We all know that, Bobby. Come on. You have to look at who you're playing. I'm telling you, the Saints should win Thursday. The Broncos are sorry. The Broncos aren't any good, but maybe we're not good. So I don't know. So you have to look at who you're playing, and the Panthers aren't good. The Cowgirls aren't good. So you have to look at who you're playing. You might say, well, Bobby, then in that case, you look, a lot of teams are hovering around 500. Then a lot of teams are not good. Though there's different categories. You could be ho-hum. The NFL loves this because it might give you a false sense of hope if you live in different cities, because you're on a roller coaster. I get up, I get down. I get up, I get down. But then when you get up, 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 man, it's like we crashing and we fell off the tracks. How down we are right now. They got to build the roller coaster. We fell off the tracks and now they have a few lawsuits because some people passed away or something. I mean, it's like, are we sure this roller coaster works? No, it's unbelievable, but I think it's going to be a short week, obviously, with Thursday. And then Denver's playing right now. They're getting spanked by the Chargers, 20-0, right, Steve? Yep. Now, they could come back. I don't know what's going to happen. But the Saints should be able to overtake Denver. But the one thing is that, to me, Dennis Allen, Dennis has been a stand-up coach. Now, I don't know if he's the right coach, but he's been stand-up. He acknowledges the defense cannot suck. You know why? That's his baby. Dennis Allen is in charge of the defense. I've told you this, Houdat Nation. If the offense is not producing, now, Dennis Allen needs to hire the right coach to run the offense, but Dennis Allen has nothing to do with the offense. Now, if the defense is not doing good, that's all on Dennis Allen's shoulders. Whether we tackling or scoring defense, which has been good up until what have you done for me lately. But, I want to read this too because, you know, you bring in the whole Saints organization in the question, not only Dennis Allen, but Mickey Loomis. And I'm going to comment on Mickey Loomis when we get back. And I've commented on this before on Sports Talk. And so I just want to keep the fan base and help them understand the situation where we at as an organization, that being the Saints, and what's going to come about in the future. And I'm just going to let you know. You might think differently, but I'm just going to tell you what's real. All right, we'll go to a break, and we'll come back, and I'll talk about that.
Saints go down 51-27 to Tampa Bay. Coming back with more of the Ciroc Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. The Saints lose 51-27 to Tampa Bay. Before we get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, Cajun Cannon, what you got?
Well, Steve, I was thinking, I guess, Randy Mueller. You know, okay. Here I was. You know, trying to tell you, you know, who has running a team and you have power and all that. The owner has to trust you if you're in charge. And Mr. Benson and Ms. Gale, they've always trust Mickey Loomis and Dennis Lauscher and everybody involved. And now let me tell you, this, I don't know who this cat is, but they don't know what they're talking about. This is 51-47. Man, you two guys, I guess that's me and you, Steve.
Yeah, you're just
have no clue on this organization. Loomis is the biggest problem outside of Coach Dennis Allen. Both need to go. I don't know, Dennis Allen might go. Mickey Loomis ain't going nowhere. What do you have no clue in this organization? Like, you have a clue? Who do you know? You know Ms. Gale? You know Dennis Lauscher and all? I don't think so. I'm just telling you, chain of command. Even Greg Bitzel, one of the most powerful public relations guy in the whole NFL. You have to look at the chain of command and the stability of the Saints and how organized they are. So that ain't going to – okay, now you might say, what has Mickey Loomis done? Let me tell you what Mickey Loomis has done. You look at history of the NFL.
Right.
You look all the top general managers. Okay, like, okay, you look at like top 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, 10. You know Mickey Loomis is in the top 10 general managers? Do you know he has a better winning percentage as a general manager than you heard of Ozzie Newsome?
And I was going to say, you're saying top 10 of GMs, not current, all time.
All time. I'm talking about Tex Schramm, Bill Polian, Curly Lambeau. I think the Packers field is named after Curly Lambeau. Okay? Now, when you think about general managers, and like I said, people know when the Ravens, because he was loyal to Art Modell, Ozzie Newsome, when they left Cleveland and went to Baltimore, he continued to be the general manager. I remember him as one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history. He played at Alabama. And then he was actually a scout that worked his way up, worked me out, Steve, the great Ozzie Newsome, who went with the Browns, went with Art Modell, was loyal to him, not necessarily loyal to Cleveland. And he went to Baltimore, and he was the Baltimore Ravens general manager. Now, you know, you retire and all that, but Mickey Loomis has a better winning percentage than Ozzie Newsome teams. So when you say that Mickey Loomis has to go, you don't know what you're talking about. That before Mickey Loomis might one day say, okay, I'm going to, you know, not go by the wayside, but I might pass the baton and be in a be a consultant.
Right, but he's not being shown the door here.
No, he's not going away. Now, Dennis Allen, that's a different story. The coach is always different and where you at. So that's why all the Houdat Nation, y'all need to realize, I'm trying to educate you on where the Saints are at right now going forward.
What do you know? You guys.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah. What do we know? What? I mean, for anybody to say, like, you two guys have no clue in this organization. No, you have no clue. I don't even know who you are. This is a local person, 504. But it's like 514.
I was going to say, don't read out their number.
No, I'm not going to read out their number, but it's like he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Just so you know, our statistician extraordinaire, Brian Duvall, always giving us numbers for the broadcast. Well, he just let me know, Bobby, Mickey Loomis' record without Sean Payton, 46-58.
Okay, now that's what have you done for me lately? Not so good, but you have to look at the whole body of work. Now, and I'm sure Ms. Gail, Dennis Lauscher, they all look at that. And again, Mickey Loomis has enough skins on the wall that he's not going to be, like, kicked out of town. No, it's going to be one of those that you're still a big part of our organization and establishing stability post-Katrina. And you might take a consultant role, whatever. But I don't think Mickey's ready to retire. You know, the one who's maybe certain players we drafted and maybe didn't have as much upside is, and Sean Payne trusted him too, Jeff Ireland. You know, it's all, are you hot or are you not hot? Are you hot to get maybe a general manager job or can I pass the torch to you? If we were kicking ass in the draft, Mickey might be able to one day say, okay, I'm going to be a consultant. And then Jeff Ireland, you're now the general manager for the Saints. Saints fans right now, they look at some drafts and, you know, we've taken Davenport, Peyton Turner, Kendre Miller. I mean, you know, I'll tell you.
Isaiah Foskey.
You can go on and on. So we trust the advice of the scouts, and Jeff Ireland has a lot of stroke there. And so unless you're getting the right players, and you can't hit once every 4 or 5 or 6 years, it has to be maybe not every year, but almost damn every year to get it right. Or like, oh, we're not picking the right players. So that's why, okay, you look behind the scenes, and that's what actually occurs.
Stepping away here on the Ciroc Point After, we're going to hear from you on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking text line, 504-260-1870. Be back with right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After, remember, folks, the day after the Saints score a touchdown, you can get free large fries with any purchase in the McDonald's app. Cajun Ken, 51-27 was the final. Tampa Bay winning. Saints losing their fourth straight game. We're going to check in now with Gavin in New Orleans East, who's got more comments on GM Mickey Loomis. What you got, Gavin?
All right. Good evening, fellas. I'll try and be brief, but I'll just start by saying this. I don't think that this, after seeing today's game, the Saints defenders can tackle even a box.
No, amen, amen. You're playing tackle football, so we got to tackle. I mean, hello? Come on.
Yeah. Right. Second thing, what I stated with Mickey Loomis, what I was going to say about Mickey Loomis, Bobby, I don't know if you recall this. I disagree with you a little bit because I think Mickey does have to go. Mickey and Dennis Allen, for that matter. I'm going to tell you why. He actually, earlier this year, compared Dennis Allen's first two seasons as head coach and tried to link it up with comparing Chuck Noll and Tom Landry to it. And you know as well as I.
I was at that press conference. I was at that press conference, so I know exactly what you're saying. And then, Mickey's trying to put a positive spin on that. But, you know, they look at, man, but some people don't even know who Chuck Noll is. Come on.
Yeah, but, well, you know who he is.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah, right, exactly.
The steel curtain.
Yeah, exactly. The Steelers in the 70s. Yeah.
Right. And these men, and not just winning Super Bowls, forget Super Bowls, they had Hall of Fame careers. Dennis Allen has been in the coach of the Oakland Raiders for two seasons and got fired by Al Davis. The guy is not good. I just think what I saw today, now, yeah, he owned up to it. He had to own up to it because
he runs the defense. He runs the defense. He has to own up to it. Yeah.
He has no choice but to own up to it.
Yeah. Gavin, the one thing, though, you know what? A lot of people. Ms. Gale and Dennis Lauscher, that's how I put the two top bananas, and Mickey in part of that, they're not going to do a knee-jerk reaction. Bobby, what's a knee-jerk reaction? A knee-jerk reaction is what the Jets did when they fired Saleh. You know, okay, we're getting rid of the coach. And then Woody, what's his name? Woody, the Jets are dysfunctional. But Woody, they're on, they got a lot of money. But, okay, we're firing the coach. Maybe we could turn around all season. But I can tell you right now, we can lose to Denver and Sean Payton, Wayne Farr, and Dennis Allen. I think they're going to let the season play out. Then you might make a decision after that. I think the way the Saints go about their business, I don't see them firing the coach like at the midway point. You might say, well, Bobby, what if they lose 5, 6, 7 games in a row? No, we have to wait and see if the road crosses. But what if, like, all of a sudden you win, you lose 4 or 5, then you win a couple. Then you lose one, whatever, and you're hovering around 500. Now, if you're 7-10 or 8-9, that's unacceptable. So changes might have to be made. Because it's not rocket science. Every year, everybody wants to win. Everybody can't win. 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired in the NFL. That's not an opinion. That's what happens. There are 32 teams. Look it up. Every year, 6, 7, or 8 coaches. In that realm, if you look at the percentages, 6 to 7, 8 coaches get fired every year, no matter what the outcome of the season. And we already got one, right? So right. We already got one with the Jets. When all said and done in the offseason, you might say, oh, Bobby, no, it might be an unusual year. I don't know. But 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. Dennis Allen, yeah, he knows because whatever DeVarma Lady's on the hot seat, he has to turn around and win, or then he's going to be gone. That's just the nature of the beast.
51-27, Saints go down to Tampa Bay. We're taking your calls on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. We're here on the Ciroc Point after till 6 p.m., so keep it locked right here. We're going to pause 10 seconds, though, right now. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We will take a break, be back with more, so sit right there on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? Pouring a big old glass here on the Ciroc Point after on your New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're going to get into what's bugging Bobby about today's game. That's brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. And Cajun Cannon, I know there's got to be a lot bugging you, but what have you like singled out as the top thing?
Well, I can tell you what's bugging me because I've never witnessed this before, playing or observing football. You know, I've been doing the radio since 1998. Now I've been playing pro ball since 1983, and I've never witnessed this.
Like you said, that's a good sample size.
I've never witnessed this. The top five tacklers for the Saints are all DBs.
Oof.
What? All defensive backs. What about, you ever heard of like the front seven? Like D linemen, linebackers. The top five tacklers are all DBs. Now, I acknowledge they made other plays. Like, for instance, Paulson and Debo had an interception. Jonathan Abram had an interception. Alante Taylor had a tackle for loss. But Paulson and Debo, I've never seen this trifecta. You know, I said the trifecta last week. Paulson and Debo had 10 tackles. Marshawn Lattimore had 10 tackles. Jordan Howland had 10 tackles. Jonathan Abram had 7. Alante Taylor had 6, tied with DeMario Davis at 6. I have never witnessed that ever.
Sounds like a lot of running backs are getting to the second level.
Well, that's why all of a sudden you give up 8 yards a run and 277 yards rushing. Is this like New Mexico State defense?
To Sean Tucker and Bucky Irving.
Yes, exactly. Tucker and Irving. That's like Syracuse, the Orange, the Fighting Orange, and the Oregon Ducks.
Quack.
I enjoyed that game last night against Ohio State. But anyway, that's a different story. But, so that's how your DBs get to be the leading tacklers when you give up 8 yards a carry to the whole Tampa Bay offense and 277 yards. I've never witnessed that. And again, Dennis Allen is, running out defense, and you get 5 defensive backs. And that's not counting the tackles that we miss. I mean, Jonathan Abram had 7 tackles, but he might have missed, it seems like, 7. I mean, I'm exaggerating now. Now, we're getting ready to go to break, but I can tell you this. You know who I am not impressed with? And you might say, oh, he got some swag and all that. Look, he went back home. He's from St. Louis. Colin Sanders. Look, he had that nice athletic interception and all that. Between him and Nathan Shepard, I can all say, is Colin Sanders and Nathan Shepard, are they as good as David Onyemata or Shai Tuttle?
Valid point, for sure.
No. We are not better controlling the defensive tackle position. Cam Jordan has gotten older on the edge, so we're hoping Carl Granderson had a stupid personal foul penalty. So Chase Young, I mean, I don't know. He's trying to rush the passer. I don't know. What did Chase Young do? I'm trying to look. Chase Young, I'm trying to see if he impacted the game. He had 2 total tackles, quarterback hurry, tackle for loss. He's trying to get paid. You got to finish the sack. We still don't rush the damn quarterback. Do we get the quarterback down on the ground as far as sacks? We had 1 sack by Willie Gay. 1 sack. We don't not – listen. We might be outstanding red zone defense, not so much this game, but – if our defense doesn't do good, we might continue to go on a losing streak. I can tell you that.
We are taking a break on the Ciroc Point After. We will be back with even more right after this. So stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back into the Ciroc Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Folks, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global, innovating, provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their cost, current donations after today's game, $12,490. That is the current donation from Venture Global to the Catch for the Coast program. We're here on the Ciroc Point After here, Cajun Cannon.
Yeah, before we go to Hollywood, Charlie brought this up. Charlie shouldn't have brought this up because all of a sudden, because we had Scott Shanley on at the Silver Slipper. You know, second guess, how are you going to second guess the coach? And as a player, we've been there. They always say you got to keep chopping wood. In other words, you can't drop the rope. You did a tug of war. You got to keep pulling. You got to keep chopping wood. And this is a text from 5147. It says, keep chopping wood. You know what the hell happened? We were chopping wood and we missed and we hit our damn shin with an axe. And now we can't stop the bleeding. So now the blood's gushing out. And we can't.
And we have had self-inflicted wounds, so that's very fitting.
Yes, so we're not chopping wood because we hit our damn self in our leg with the axe, and now we can't stop the bleeding. Now, will we stop the bleeding on Thursday night? I don't know. I mean, it's not like we're playing. It's not like the Ravens are coming to town or wherever you might perceive amongst the best in the NFL right now. No, it's the Broncos.
And they're coming to town right now. Yeah, the Denver Broncos losing 23-0 at home entering the fourth quarter.
Yeah. So it's not like, okay, so we beat Sean Payton and the Broncos. You should beat them. The Broncos aren't very good.
Well, like you said, we need to stop that bleeding.
Yeah, and so the Broncos might say, well, the Saints aren't very good. And you know who's not very good? Is the damn Cowgirls, and I love it. They're getting waxed by the Lions.
There is a positive
and,
today.
There is a positive. I'm going to sleep a little bit tonight because it's always a great day when the Saints win and the Cowgirls lose. But it's a good day, no matter what the Saints do, as long as the Cowgirls at Dallas lose. And they're getting waxed by the Lions. No, the Cowgirls, they're frauds.
34-6, Detroit.
No, America's team. I hope that's not America's team, because there's no hope for the future of America if that's America's team, damn Cowgirls.
Waiting on some folks here to sound off on the Ciroc Point after Cajun Cannon. And right now we're going to head to Hollywood and Thibodeau. What you got today, Hollywood? How's it going?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood. No, it was like I felt good at halftime. I'm doing the halftime report. I said, "Oh, we swung the momentum. I think we're gonna win the game. Not so fast. We had to score the second half. They made adjustments and we didn't. That was very frustrating."
What bugged me most about the game? I got a lot of bugging. Number one, the Saints can't tackle. That goes to basic football. That's on Dennis Allen. He should be gone. That's his defense. Number one, they can't tackle a quarterback when they put pressure on them. They can't finish the play. They got chunk yards after that. What about our defensive line? Why they can't stop the run, or why they can't pressure the quarterback? We got to use like a cornerback. We got to use a cornerback or a linebacker to put pressure on the quarterback. It all comes from the defensive line. And another thing that bugs me the most, our receivers, they catch the ball, and they get knocked out by Tampa Bay, and they turn it for an easy touchdown. We can't. We play stupid football, Bob. I saw it in Kansas City when I went to the game, and I saw it today, and my hourglass is running out. So
Hollywood, we don't have no true alpha dog as the number one receiver. And Chris Olave family might challenge me and all that. Look, Chris Olave is an NFL player, but he's little. He's not like, I don't know, like Brandon Cooks, yards after the catch. But I even okay, I look at who's our top receivers. I look at Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed. Okay, Rashid Shaheed can blow the top off a defense. But name me one contested catch Rashid Shaheed has ever made. Sometimes I say, keep running. The ball's right there. No, Rashid Shaheed, look at the punt returns. It's been unbelievable. Look at the bombs that he's caught. But he ain't making no damn contested catches. All I got to tell you, just look at this. Who's amongst the best in the NFL as far as receivers? If Davante Adams was on the Saints, would Chris Olave be the number one receiver?
No.
No, he wouldn't. Chris Olave could be everybody's number two, but he's not a number one. He's too little. And you might say, Bobby, what are you talking about? Though you have little receivers that are stud, but look how compactly how they built. I mean, is Chris Olave, is he as explosive as Tyreek Hill? Or you might go, who was the damn receiver I'm thinking about from Carolina? This is like old school, and he's on NFL Network.
Steve Smith.
Steve Smith.
Right.
And you don't want to get in a fight with him.
No,
I think I'd want to fight Chris Olave, but Steve Smith, not so much. You have to look at that. Who's truly a dog, and who can bring that? Now, we've had big receivers. We had the Quiet Storm and Marcus Colston, and even Michael Thomas. And then he lived up to the 1 year with his contract, but after that, he had $50 million guaranteed. Then he said, you can't measure anyone's heart. A lot of times you can't measure a lot of Ohio State players' hearts. But anyway, that's a different topic. But the point being is that, maybe who's supposed to be that guy? And we got rid of him, and now he's in Denver. Sean Payton put him on the practice squad, A.T. Perry. But I think he just happened to be in the NFL. Just because you're big doesn't mean you know how to be a pro. And A.T. Perry, he might say, if I want to have this as a lifestyle, I got to do something. Maybe I could do this in Denver. But he didn't do it with the Saints. But we don't have that big, dominant receiver. I'm talking about a contested catch. And the quarterback's in trouble, and it's a jump ball going up for a rebound. I'm going to throw it. Are you going to catch it, or the defender's going to knock it down, or they might catch it? No, we don't have that guy right now.
We're here on the Ciroc Point after the Saints lose 51-27 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Caesars Superdome. Up next, Thursday Night Football against the Denver Broncos. We're taking a break and be back with more of the Ciroc Point after right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are back here on the Ciroc Point after the Saints lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 51-27 in the Caesars Superdome Week 6. Coming up now, Week 7, Thursday Night Football. Short turnaround for this black and gold bunch welcoming the Denver Broncos to town. Cajun Cannon, we're going to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, and James has got up next for us, and I see he says there is no more excuses, Cajun Cannon.
Yes, James, the GM. Yeah. James, you probably said this in August. There ain't no damn excuses going forward.
Well, what I said in August, and I know it kind of ticked off my East Coast crew, but in August, you remember this, right? It was my lady and I. Well, my lady, she likes the Titanic. And the thing about the Titanic, you remember this movie?
Yes.
The guys in the band were leaving, were watching everybody jump off the boat, but they're still playing the music or whatever until it's almost over. Like they one or two finally left. The Titanic has arrived now, fellas. And the thing about it is, I don't know. You know, it's funny because our so-called defensive head coach, that was, you know, the thing about Dennis Allen, has a 347 winning percentage, 2-8 up until today. It's probably, you know, worse than that, but it's 2-8 against winning teams. We just set a record at NFL, we're the 11th team in NFL history to actually three interceptions, punt return, and still lose a game. The yardage that we gave up today is second in Saints history outside of the Minnesota game in 2004. And, you know, I gotta say something. You know, you say we don't have Denver's not good, but they got a better coach. He's 3-2. Sean's 3-2 with a rookie QB. So they may not be a good team, but they got a better coach. And you know, I don't know, you know, you said we got to keep Mickey, and I get what you're saying, but it's
because of James. I got to keep Mickey. No, I know who's in charge. Mickey Loomis. Okay, I'm not Bobby, saying Mickey Loomis is Jerry Jones, but he ain't too far from that. I'm telling you, people don't realize the power that Mickey Loomis has, and Dennis Lausch and Ms. Gale. It's like a three-headed monster. People don't realize Ms. Gale, when all of a sudden she owns the Saints, Mr. Tom Benson passes away, and how he trusts Dennis Lauscher. You know who screwed up, who could be in Mickey Loomis' position? Randy Mueller. If Randy Mueller doesn't go for that interview, and then all of a sudden Mr. Benson gets rid of him, Mickey Loomis stepped in, and he earned the trust of Mr. Tom Benson. Well, Ms. Gale is doing what her husband wanted, and he trusts Dennis Lauscher and Mickey Loomis. So I look at that. And then the one individual who's probably the number one PR guy in the whole NFL is Greg Bentzel. Ain't nothing to do with the coach. I'm just telling you where the Saints are at right now. Now, you know what's interesting? When you look at, James, you were bringing this up, is that when you look at the Saints, it just figures, the freaking Saints or whatever. Analytics.com has that the Saints are the first team since 1950 Baltimore Colts. Now think about this. This is post-World War II. It's like right before the Korean War, or right around that. The Saints are the first team since the 1950 Baltimore Colts to get three interceptions, score 27 points, and lose a game by 24 points or more. What now, if you look at 1950, the 49ers scored 56, and the Colts scored 28. No, I even said this. Look, you get three interceptions, you run back a punt. If you'd have told me that before the game, hell yeah, we're going to beat the Buccaneers. But with the Saints, it's adventurous.
All bets are off.
Not so fast.
We're taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Be back with more right after this, so stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Pouring a big glass here on the Ciroc Point After. It's now time for the Ciroc Toast to the Saints. Pour yourself a big old glass of Ciroc Premium Vodka yourself, and let's toast to Matthew Hayball, Cajun Cannon, for his performance today. And you might say, why are we toasting to the punter?
Well, you lose 51-27. I'm not giving it to damn sure the defense.
And nobody then, on defense gets a toast, right?
And then offense, but you gave him a diamond in the rough.
Bub Means.
Bub Means. Now he had 8 targets, 5 catches. He had a touchdown. You know, he averaged 9 yards of reception. He had a long gain of 14 yards. But I look at Hayball. We definitely picked the right punter. Whether you're from Australia or who's kicking and punting, we don't care if they're from Ireland, Australia. Just be a dominant kicker or punter, no matter where you come from. You got to be a pro's pro. Look at Morstead. His ancestry, how reliable he is from England. He's still punting for the Jets. I mean, you look at it. So one of my best friends, Martin Anderson from Denmark. Same birthday, we were the same age and all that. So I don't care where you're from. Can you produce? It's the pros. It's not like, oh, well, I still like you, and then you're going to be our kicker or our punter. No, you got to produce. So you look at Hayball, and I'm telling you, because that was coming into question. And Steve, you might say, well, Bobby, what are you talking about this? I talked about this in the pregame because the Buccaneers are pretty damn good. When you look at, like, punt return average, kick return average, we've always been good with Rashid Shaheed. We were averaging 11 yards punt return. Now, we took one to the house, so we won that battle. But they were giving up, like, 10 – or they were attaining, I should say, 10.5 yards of punt return. We were 10, they were 12. And kickoff return, you know, they were aggressive kickoff returns. We were at 28.5. They were at 29.5. So the point being, when you're trying to flip the field, the hidden yardage and, you know, one less first down you might have to get in the scoring range, Hayball was outstanding. His net average was 42.3 when you look at that. And then you look at the net average when you look at what actually the when you look at the Buccaneers and their net average, because it was 25.3. Now, with that being said, he had a long punt of 58, but three punts inside the 20-yard line. How many times, I mean, with all the media, and we're looking at Hayball punting right at the 7-8-yard line. It's all, like, right there. But then one time, I think, I got to look up this drive. But, okay, we punt it, and they're starting to drive at the 7-8-yard line. Then damn Tampa Bay drives it down the field and scores. That's when you got to force a three and out. You know, when you're trying to flip the field, okay, you got it inside the 10. You got their backs to the wall. Okay, show up, defense. Force a three and out. You're going to get the ball around midfield, 40-yard line, and then you should be able to take advantage of that and score. Whether it's a field goal or whatever. But we did not hold them. So I like Hayball. Hayball, to me, yeah, I'm giving him a game ball because he showed up as a pro. Out of Vanderbilt, the left-footed punter.
Cheers. That's our toast, Ciroc toast, to the Saints punter, Matthew Hayball. We're going to take a break on the Ciroc Point after and be back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are back here on the Ciroc Point after. Want to update some folks on some games currently going on that there's some interest in. Obviously, the Saints playing the Denver Broncos next. They're down 23-13, 5 minutes left in the game there to the Chargers. And then you look at in Carolina currently, the Atlanta Falcons have a 28-20 lead. That game just entered the fourth quarter there.
The only reason why is 28-20 because Andy Dalton. If little Bryce was playing, they'd have no chance.
Andy Dalton today, Cajun Cannon, 21 of 29 passing, 180 yards and two touchdowns. His passer rating, 111.3.
And I don't know anything about quarterbacks. That's why everybody thinks like, you're just taking up for the old guys like Andy Dalton and Kirk Cousins. Oh, come on. I know what it takes to play the position. Everybody hates on, I don't know, because he got orange hair. I don't know. He's a ginger or whatever it is. But Andy Dalton. And whether you call him Red Rocket, Red Rifle, whatever, Andy Dalton's a freaking pro. I know who can do it at the highest level.
Just like Joe Flacco, he got a win today.
And Joe Flacco, hello? Yes, Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton, Kirk Cousins of the world, they bring stability. NFL owners and general managers, they love stability. So that's why, I want to be excited. I want to be stimulated by some quarterback that's going to do something outrageous. No, it might be outrageously wrong. It might be outrageously right. But I want stability. Andy Dalton, the owner, the Tepper, he's a crazy owner. He doesn't know what he's doing. But Andy Dalton brings stability. Andy Dalton will have a job another two or three more years based on what he's doing right now.
You know, we're talking about, obviously, stability, some veteran quarterbacks. But what did you think of the rookie quarterback today, Cajun Cannon? I really didn't get your thoughts on what you you thought out of Spencer Rattler's first outing as a pro.
Well, I thought he handled the pressure at a high level, and he did well at times. But you can't go overboard. I mean, it's not like he threw for 70%. It's not like he's Jane Daniels.
No, and obviously he was put in a tough situation of having to play from behind, obviously.
Yeah, he was 22 of 40, 243 yards. He had a touchdown, a couple of interceptions, a quarterback rating of basically 61.
Right.
But did he keep pace with Baker Mayfield? No, you're playing four quarters. And where are you at? Now, I thought the bootleg or the play action, and you get out of the pocket. But the speed in the NFL, even when he took off and ran a couple of times in the second half, in the NFL, they can track you down. Not so fast. What you need to do, I'm telling you, I'm going to give advice to any young quarterback in the future. And you're young, and you have the skill set to make people miss, at least one guy miss. You know what you have to do? Make people miss and still throw the ball. You might think you want to run. But can you?
Always have your eyes down the field.
Yes, and then you make a big play that way. Not too many people like Lamar Jackson or Jayden Daniels.
Yeah.
Because Spencer Rattler, I think he's mobile and he can run, but he ain't no damn Jayden Daniels or Lamar Jackson. So that's what you have to look at. Okay, can you extend a play? Can you avoid a rush? You can avoid the rush between the tackles. You step up, but your eyes have to be downfield, still able to make throws. So I think his first outing, it was very serviceable. And the first half, I wish the game would have ended after halftime. But we didn't score the second half. But I don't know, the jury's still out. I'm going to see what he's going to do because Derek Carr ain't playing on Thursday night against Denver. Spencer Rattler's going to have another opportunity. What you going to do? You cannot truly judge a young quarterback or any quarterback. Okay, you're the man. You're starting. Okay, what do you do after a month of starting? I've said this before. I mentioned that early in the show, like with Warren Moon. What are you doing after three or four games when they have film on you, and how do you play? Are you truly a quarterback that could play in different situations, whether it's from the pocket or out the pocket, and make plays? So to me, let him get a month of film on you, and you're still playing, see how much success you have from there. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
We're here on the Ciroc Point After. Going to take a break and be back with more when we return as we get ready for Saints versus Denver Broncos. Now, Thursday night football after the black and gold go down 51-27 to the Tampa Bay Bucks in week 6. Coming back with more of the Ciroc Point After, though, right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Before we get started here, as we close things out on the Ciroc Point After, let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on that New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Rough one for the Saints today, folks. They go down 51-27 at the hands of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got to go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, Cajun Cannon, and Jake in Ville Platte wants to sign off. What you got for us today, Jake?
Well, first of all, I want to say that it's kind of weird the fact that I chose Brian Kelly as a head coach more than I chose Dennis Allen as a head coach.
That hurts.
Well, I mean, the bottom line is Coach Kelly beat Ole Miss and
exactly.
And Dennis Allen and I beat Tampa Bay. Yeah.
My point exactly. It's time for us to really take a deep look at what our situation is and say, is it time to say bye-bye to Dennis? Because let's face it, the first couple of weeks were great. Now the second couple of weeks look like a freaking mortgage experiment.
Yeah, we all know Margus in these parts, and yes, definitely a Margus experiment by Halloween. We all know who Margus is, but I could tell you, Jake, that what's going to happen. Now, can we put up with this? Can we be patient enough? I think Mickey Loomis and the Saints organization will let this situation play itself out. And it's going to be, okay, let's see what happens at the end of the season. Okay, I think if Gail Benson, Ms. Gail, and if you look at Mickey Loomis, Dennis Lauschwitz, if you're truly objective, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Okay, what is it going to take to go to the postseason? If we're under 500, probably not, right?
No.
If you're 8-9, you're hovering around 500. Not much difference, 8-9, 9-8. So if we have 8 or 7 wins, 7-10.
Not good enough.
Then it's not good enough. Now, if you're 9-8, depending if you're in the postseason or not, but I'll tell you, losing the game how we lost today, and I had said, best case scenario, we can win 10 games if we had the offensive scoring average and the defensive scoring average we did last year and plus 11 in the turnover margin. Right now, we're still plus 3, but we were plus 11 last year. I said, yeah, we have a great chance to win, double digits, to win 10 games. I told you, and I said this in August during training camp, we do a number of shows, I think it's going to be the same song and dance. It's not bad. It's not terrible. But it's not great. We kind of ho-hum. We hovering around 500, 8-9, 9-8. So I can tell you, but the way we lost today against Tampa Bay, I don't know how in the hell we're going to get the double-digit wins. Now, if we turn around, we might get to 9 wins, but is that good enough? But if you have a losing record, 8-9 or 7-10, I'm not asking for nobody's job, but if you have 7 or 8 wins, it's the NFL. Like I say, 6 to 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. You have a losing record in this day and age in the NFL, how do you keep your job? It's just the reality of the business.
No, and obviously the calling card of this Saints team is the defense, and we've seen that falter in some close game situations and then back-to-back games now getting blown away.
The last 3 games, we've been getting gash. We can't stop the run.
That's a huge problem, right?
We can't stop the run. So you look how we want to be structured with Kubiak. We want to run the ball, want to stop the run. Okay, and now can we truly run the ball? Can we stop the run? I don't know. I don't think so right now. But then you got to wait for the whole season to transpire. But what's going to happen against Denver? I know Denver's going to try and run against after what Tampa Bay just did. They have a young rookie quarterback in Bo Nix. I don't even know who I got to look up. I don't even know who the damn Broncos running backs are. You don't think they're going to try and run the ball 30-plus times? I mean, if you look at right now, Tampa Bay, they ran the ball 35 times for 277 yards. They could do the same damn thing.
That's a wrap on the Ciroc Point After. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the Houdat Nation.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints.